So there's so many great openings, including on Friday night at Spokane Civic Theater, is the show Spring Awakening. And anybody who knows the show Spring Awakening says, oh, yeah. And the rest of us need to know about it. So let's go to Jake Schaefer. Good morning, Jake. Good
morning, Vern. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine because I need to know more about this because I've not seen it. I only know of it.
Wow.
I know so deeply of it, but not directly. And so you're the director for this. The vibe. Why has Spring Awakening just caught on so much with those people who know it and love it? What's about it?
The co-director Sarah okay. Damon and I.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was that whole thing in the Inlander about that.
Yeah, Sarah Damon and I have discussed up and down what about Spring Awakening has such purpose that people can hold on to. And for me, I translate it to Rent because that was my generation's Spring Awakening. So what is it? Well, it's this historical yet culturally relevant story mixed with this rock music. So it's edgy and attractive and at the same time totally purposeful. And still, even though the original play was written in 1892.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is this. It's awful. It's good that you mentioned Rent, which was based on La Bohème, because it's this idea of the young people finding themselves and all of the things going on. And it's a pretty good title for it,
too,
especially in terms of this specific story. You can let me know when we need to be careful about any spoiler alerts of what does or doesn't need to be happening. But the basic premise is of two young people and whom we're about to hear singing. So talk a little bit just about Wendla and Melchior.
Wendla is a perfectly innocent young lady trying to live her best life. And of course, like all of us, have experienced that first spark, that first romantic intrigue, etc. It's bubbles from Melchior. And Melchior is very much going through the same thing, but on a completely different level. They kind of live two separate worlds, but yet in the same place.
Say a little more about a completely different level.
I just believe that Wendla is... Her world, I think, is a little more constricted than Melchior's. I think that it's a bit more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so her awakening is much more dramatic than his. And I'm not saying that his isn't... powerful. His arc is tremendous, but hers comes from a different place, a much deeper place.
Yeah. Did you say traumatic or dramatic?
Traumatic. I think I said tremendous, but
they both work.
All are horrible. Yeah, I'm trying to rejoin the human race this morning, Vern.
Okay, so I think a great way to kind of get us into the vibe of what you've just said is this. Is this song, The Word of Your Body? Do you want to say anything more about what that title means, or should we?
I think we should listen to it.
Okay, we'll go to the studio, and we have Henry McNulty at the piano, so that's a good thing, and let's go to the studio and hear the two of them, the two young people discovering love in this song, The Word of Your Body.
Just to unreal all this, watching the words fall from my lips.
Baiting some girl with hypotheses.
Haven't you heard the word of your body?
Don't feel a thing you wish.
Grasping at pearls with my fingertips.
Holding her hand like some little tease.
Haven't you heard the word of my wanting? just to unreal all this. Watching his world slip through my fist.
Playing with her in your fantasies.
Haven't you heard the word? How I want you. Oh, I'm gonna be wounded. Oh, I'm gonna be your wound. Oh, I'm gonna bruise you.
Wonderfully brooding song, The Word of Your Body, from the musical Spring Awakening, which opens this Friday night at Spokane Civic Theater, Friday night, Saturday night at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2, and then the following 2 weeks. So it will be running through the month and sung by Aaron Skipper as Melchior and Elizabeth Martin as Vendla. And boy, what a first, really lovely. Just the sense of the sense of wonder and that came through in that song. So thank you.
Thank you.
But now let's back that up by really talking about yourselves. So who wants to start of really describing who you are, Vendla?
First.
Okay. The young woman in this this couple, Elizabeth Martin. Go ahead.
Describe
Vendla. Yeah, yeah.
She's innocent and she's naive, but she's also very curious. And I think she kind of represents like the hope that we have for our youth, kind of. You know, like they are impressionable and they are moldable, and she is like the example of that.
And what's the world she lives in? What's going on around her?
She lives in, I mean, really the same world that, you know, they all kind of live in as youth in a really dated, conservative, you know, late 1800s society. Mm-hmm. That they are on a pretty short leash, mm-hmm. you know, and they're not told a lot. They're not taught a lot, and they don't...
No sex ed in the school.
No, very much not. So basically, that's kind of what gets them all into trouble.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, they don't really know anything,
yeah.
really.
And to Aaron Skipper as Melchior, is it kind of the same thing? We talk about Melchior.
Yeah, kind of. So he does live in the same world where parentocracy is very, you know, eminent. It really rules over, you know, everything that they do in life, you know, whether it's their teachers, their parents, you know. If you're older, you have the more authority. Melchior strives for more knowledge, and knowing that there could be more, he is very resistant towards religion and its whole ideology. And he strives to gain more knowledge, and he really prides himself on being, you know, above the average status quo of thinking. But at the same time, he's also very vulnerable. He's still a child. He's still discovering these things for himself. So a lot of times he gets over his head when he thinks he knows something, but experiencing them for the first time, he's just like all of us when we experience something for the first time. We're still children. It's still something new to us.
Yeah. And back to Vendla. I'll call you folks by your character names, because that's really what we're talking about. Your attraction to him, so therefore, is it a little bit that he seems a little older and
oh,
more
yeah, totally.
Sure of himself and worldly-wise?
Absolutely.
And all that. Against your youth. Is it essential or stated in the play how old any of you are, or are you just kind of universally late teenage young?
I think we shot for an average age of 17. Yeah. That's the look.
Yeah, that would seem to be how it would be. So these are the two. The couple around which things go. But then we have two other people to bring in here. which would be Ilsa and Moravitz. And so let's bring in them. And so Aubrey Peterson, you're Ilsa. So describe how you fit into this story.
Ilsa's kind of the oddball of the story. She's kind of the outlier. She, for most of the show, it's just hinted towards who she is. She's one of the other character Marta's sisters. And she doesn't really come around until she has this interaction with Moritz in the second act. She lives in an artist colony. She ran away from home. She's just the oddball.
Yeah, and you're clearly an actor. You're clearly a good actor because even as you sit here, you kind of present that vibe.
Oh boy!
you're doing a good job with that.
Thank you.
And then Moritz, you're the kind of the best friend of Melchior. Is that it? But talk about yourself.
Yeah. Well, Moritz is kind of the sad one of the group. He kind of has pressure from all sides, you know, his parents, the school. But yeah, he's best friends with Melchior and they grew up together. But Moritz really struggles and I think has one of the more difficult story arcs. But yeah.
Yeah. And so and this is where we probably have to be careful. How much more farther into the story do we want to go? Do we, or should we let it unfold to the
person? You can go as far as you want to go.
That comes in, because so we can find about death and pregnancy and all these things?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's
let's carry into this.
Yeah, so my character, it's kind of a build-up. Act one is just a build-up of him discovering new things, and he doesn't necessarily react to it the right way. And then he ends up failing from school, and that really sends him over. And he's drawn to a point, and this is a complete spoiler, in Act 2, where he commits suicide. And I think that it's really important in today's culture, because adolescent suicide, teen suicide, is very prevalent, and I think it's important to, you know, get this out there and tell this story, as dark as it may be.
Yeah. And so those are four significant characters. Who else of this generation is in the show? Is there, are you the four main 17-year-olds in the show, essentially?
Actors or roles?
No, well, roles. Yeah, roles.
Oh, there's two very distinct packs, the girls and the boys. And in addition to these two boys, we've got Hanschen and Ernst, and they come from the same world, like Aaron so eloquently stated. That was Elizabeth that was talking about the worlds. It is all very much the same world that they're living in, that provincial life. But each of the characters, I think, represents a different quadrant of what that was then. So that's represented in the show in the two groups. There's one of each in the boys and one of each in the girls, if you will. Just color.
And let's bring in Henry McNulty now, because and some of this came out pretty nicely in the Inlander article too, but this is a play and a musical both, isn't it, in a sense, that both things really matter here in this show, Henry?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So talk about the musical side of it, as a musical performance.
Well, in a lot of ways, it's a older-fashioned play with music more than it is a musical. In fact, in the original incarnation, the songs are performed as though the characters break out into a rock concert. So it breaks the world for a moment. That's not the way we're choosing to do ours, but it does speak to how the music is constructed. In a lot of ways, it's a straight play that stands on its own, that is combined with kind of a punk rock aesthetic in a lot of the music, as well as the addition of a string section. So it's an interesting blend of styles and genres.
Yeah, so that's what you're using in the pit is the two sounds, string quartet and punk rock?
Yes.
Essentially?
Yeah. Yes.
And so blended or in opposition?
For much of the show, they're in opposition, and then particularly later in the show, they come together. So it, for a lot of it, you will hear, okay, now we're into full rock concert, and now we're into, you know, one of the more lyrical pieces that has a string quartet. But then those worlds do get to combine.
Well, and so that's Henry McNulty of the whole thing of this amazing show, which opens tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, 3 weekends, Spokane Civic Theater of Spring Awakening. And we have one more song left, and that's Don't Do Sadness. So, Joel, Jonah, before you go, defend the song a little bit, or at least say how the song fits into what you've just already described about your character.
Yeah, so this song it's pretty ironic. It's more it's trying to convince himself or tell himself that he doesn't do sadness when, in fact, he definitely does inhabit a lot of the sadness. And basically, the song is him wanting to be anything else, wanting his brain to shut down, you know, just to not be able to think is what I think his... what he is reaching towards.
Okay, well, let's hear it. Jonah Taylor, who's going into the studio as Henry McNulty has for this song, Don't Do Sadness, which is Moritz's song from Spring Awakening. So we'll go back to the studio.
Awful sweet to be a little butterfly. Just winging over things and nothing deep inside. Nothing going wild in you, you know. You're slowing by the riverside or floating high and blue. Or maybe cool to be a little summer wind. Like once through everything and then away again. With the taste of dust in your mouth all day, but no need to know. Like sadness, you just sail away. 'Cause you know I don't do sadness, not even a little bit. Just don't need it in my life. Don't want any part of it. I don't do sadness. Hey, I've done my time looking back on it all. Man, it blows my mind. I don't do sadness. So been there. I don't do sadness. Just don't care.
Don't Do Sadness from Spring Awakening, sung for us by Jonah Taylor in the role of Moritz. So my thanks to these four actors who are the real core, part of the real core of this show, which has proven to be really highly attractive to a lot of people, but especially people of a certain age. And let's bring in a couple final words from Jake Schaefer about that.
And, why? Why is it so attractive? Such an interesting concept. I mean, like Henry said, it's a play and a musical. Mm-hmm. Duncan Sheik mm-hmm. wrote the music. I remember as a kid, teenager, hearing his song Barely Breathing at Patterson's, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all these years later doing it's just kind of surreal. So what about it is so exciting to young people?
Well, the relevance of the core story.
Of course. It's just for me, I hope that people experience it and dare to experience all of it.
Yeah. So this is Spring Awakening, opening tomorrow night, three night weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the rest of the month, 7:30, 7:30 at 2 at Spokane Civic Theater. So thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Vern.
For coming in.